Good morning and welcome to this special report. I'm Brendan Palu. On the line with me right now is our esteemed provincial health officer, Dr. Bonnie Henry. Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning.
First off, let's take a look at the overall picture here in BC, Bonnie, as the province has about 3.5% of the total cases in all of Canada. I guess touch on what the public and the province has done up to this point to keep the figure as low as it is.
You know, this has been an incredibly, I don't have to say this, it's been such an incredibly challenging last few months. When we put in some of the restrictions that we still have in place right now in March, we didn't know where we were going to be. But, you know, I think the fact that we have been able to bend this curve down is really a testament to how people in British Columbia have banded together and done the right thing. And that is so incredibly important. Having said that, you know, we had 33 new people test positive yesterday. We still have several hundred people who are in the incubation period who are being monitored. So we need to be cautious. But I do think we're at the point where in the next few weeks we'll be able to really ease some of the restrictions that we've been under.
In your opinion, why does Northern Health per capita have significantly less cases? And is there a false sense of security outside of the Lower Mainland that the rest of the province isn't really impacted by this?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, part of it is testing, of course. We do know that every community in this province has been affected in some way, whether that's people who've returned from traveling, people who've returned from being in contact with somebody, and many of them have been in isolation or in quarantine. And across the north, I know there have been people who have been affected. And during the major part of our outbreak, we were not able to efficiently test people in every area of the province. So I think it is it's a little bit of, we need to be careful to think that we have not been affected by this, because there have been cases in every part of this province. We've been taking really important measures across the north to do our best to keep it out of particularly our small and more rural and First Nations communities, because we know there are challenges in getting access to health care. And so we've been developing those plans as well to make sure that we can support people if and when it does get introduced into the community in the north.
How does the province plan on protecting long-term care facilities now that we're slowly reopening the province? And when are one-on-one visits with family members going to be allowed in the future?
Oh, I know that has been such a challenging thing. As you know, we got hit early with the Lynn Valley Care Center and, you know, the number of people who were infected there, and the number of deaths is really tragic for all of us. But that meant we early on took a number of precautions in all of our long-term care facilities, because we know how devastating this virus can be. And unfortunately, that includes reducing and restricting visitors to only essential ones. But we know people need that contact with their elders who are in our care homes. We're not at the point yet where it's safe to let people come into those care homes. We need to continue to protect both the workers, but particularly our seniors and elders in their care homes. But I do, we're working on plans for how we can do that in a safe way over the coming weeks. And I would see, as we go into the summer, for sure we'll be able to have more family visits and family support for people in care homes.
Now, 671 elective surgeries postponed were in Northern Health, while just over 1,000 surgeries were performed, working out to about a 39% loss in productivity, where the rest of BC only faced about a 30% reduction. I guess, how has the North been impacted differently compared to the rest of the province?
Yeah, well, I think there's not a whole lot of difference there. I think this has impacted people all over the province. The challenges, of course, in the north are the distance from the hospitals and how we can effectively manage the increase, the decrease, and now the increase in getting people through the hospitals and the system. The other part, of course, is, you know, the access to intensive care and critical care beds in the north is much less than some other parts of the province. So we've been working a lot on how we can keep the capacity that we may need for people who have severe illness with COVID-19, as well as getting those surgeries and the other care that people need off the ground. So part of that may be transporting people down to the Lower Mainland for some of the more complex surgeries so they're able to get the care that they need if they end up in intensive care or if that's part of what you need for that surgery. So there's a whole strategy that's being worked on to try and support the people in the north to be able to make up that lost ground.
Now, you and Health Minister Adrian Dix have said there's a decent supply of personal protective equipment in the province, but after reports this week from the BC Nurses Union of Employers asking nurses to either reuse masks or only use one per shift, against what is being done to hold individual health employers accountable?
Yeah, so we do have a provincial strategy for all of our PPE, both in the hospitals and into the community, and it has been an incredible challenge. You know, we have supplies and we have what we need for now, but we don't have what we used to have, where people could have as many as they wanted all the time. I will say, wearing one set of personal protective equipment, so a respirator or a mask plus eye protection, a face shield, through a shift is important, and it's a very valid way of protecting both the healthcare worker and the patient. And we know that when it's the putting on and taking off, particularly the taking off of our personal protective equipment, that often leads to us self-contaminating. So we need to make sure that people know that this is a very valid and important way to protect healthcare workers. And we are monitoring the PPE situation on sometimes an hour-by-hour basis. We're okay right now, but we need to continue to bring in more and to make sure that it's appropriately approved. I think we talked a number of times about we have equipment that's come in from new suppliers, and we need to put it through all the quality assurance testing to make sure that it does actually meet the needs that we have.
Now, when we take a look at the testing rate in BC, it's just over 17,300 people per million, while the national rate is way higher at over 26.5 people per million. How does the province go about doing more testing to close that gap?
Yeah, so our testing strategy is based on science, and it's based on the rational approach. So early on, you will remember, we did more testing than anybody in the continent, actually. We did more than all of the U.S. And that helped us understand where the virus was in our community. And, that is what triggered us to put in the restrictions at the time that we did. It was when I recognized that we were getting community transmission and we weren't able to understand exactly where everybody had come from. So that triggered us moving into a phase where we needed to focus the testing capacity we had on making sure we were detecting outbreaks in long-term care, that we were protecting our health care services, because that's where we knew we were going to get the influx of patients. So that's what the focus was at that time. We've now, as you know, have opened up again. We have adequate capacity. We are testing anybody who has symptoms right now, and that's important. There's now testing available at short turnaround time across the north. So anybody who has symptoms of COVID-19 right now can be tested and can be assessed and tested if that's appropriate. We'll be continuing to do that, particularly as we move into this next phase, because what we need to do now is find every case in our community as quickly as possible and make sure we prevent, so we stop those chains of transmission. And that's what public health will be focusing on, to allow us to increase our contacts and get our economy going again. We're also increasing our capacity for testing, but right now we have more capacity than people who need to be tested, and that's where we want to continue to stay. We're going to be looking at increasing even more as we go into the fall, because we know we know influenza is coming back. We don't know what's going to happen with COVID, so we need to be able to test for both of those. So that's our plan going forward.
If a vaccine is not found by the fall, how do sports teams, especially in the grassroots level, whether it's university, junior, youth, whatever, especially in sports like hockey, basketball, and soccer, and many of which often rely on large crowds and are ticket revenue driven, how do they get to go ahead to play this year?
Yeah, you know, that is something we're going to have to take, you know, week by week. I think it's unlikely we'll have a vaccine by the fall. And I also think it's unlikely we're going to be able to have events that have large crowds. You know, I'm not removing the order around the 50-person limit. And, of course, that means 50 people if you're able to keep the physical distancing that's needed to prevent transmission of this virus. But we are in a very unusual time. And this is not just us in BC. It's around the world trying to figure out how we can get our economy and our life going again without giving this virus a chance to take off. And large crowds are not part of that.
So I guess to a follow-up for that, how should, I guess, teams, especially at the junior hockey level, university level, how can they best operate during this difficult time to, you know, at least to a certain extent, have some money flowing in?
Yeah, you know, the money side of it is something that I know governments are working on and looking how we can support, you know, both arts and sports and, you know, all of the things that are so important in, as part of our lives. We are working nationally with the sports associations to look at how some types of sports can be played safely. But again, you know, the whole, as you mentioned, many of the ones that depend on ticket revenues to keep going, they're going to have to look at how we can support them in different ways.
Now, prior to the pandemic, there were large gatherings at certain events and protests. How much did that trigger the virus and the subsequent shutdown of the province in mid-March?
Yeah, a very good question. We know that there were some large events that have been, you know, where there were maybe super spreader events that led to a lot of transmission. One of them was a large dental conference that was held in Vancouver, and we know at least 87 people in British Columbia became positive after attending that conference, and it was there was at least two or three people from our genetic testing. We can tell that there were several people who were ill at that conference that introduced it into that environment, and that's why I say, you know, it's so important that we don't have these large events where people congregate together, because people we know now, we've been learning about this virus now for the last few months. We know that you can transmit it to others even when you're early on in your symptoms and they may be very mild or you may not even realize you have it. So that's why it's so important that we keep our circle small right now and that we don't have lots of contact with lots of people, because that's how this virus takes off.
A couple more questions for you, Bonnie. Next one, could certain parts of the province who have less cases see more restrictions ease compared to those with plenty more cases?
You know, I think we're all in this together in BC, and as I've mentioned, every part of this province has been affected in some way, so we all have to be careful about how we move forward with this. It really will be how businesses and retail outlets and other places are able to meet the requirements that we have for this next phase. So can I open my business with you know, with the proper social distancing, with the proper barriers in place, with the proper cleaning in place? And all of it will depend as well on who my clients are. If I'm a hairdresser that goes into long-term care homes and cares for elders, you know, that's not going to be something that will be able to be started off right away. So we'll have to be looking at this. It's really an individual approach for each business. And it'll be the same across the province. When you're able to move ahead with and meet the requirements that we have to make sure everybody's safe, then you're good to go.
How should members of the public decipher factual information on the virus to either rumored or false information?
Yeah, and there has been a lot out there of rumors and false information. I know people send me things all the time about it. It's really important to go to a credible source. So we know the BC Centre for Disease Control has a ton of information, and that's our sort of source of truth here in BC. You can also go to gov.bc.ca. There's a whole COVID webpage on there, particularly for non-medical advice. And now for businesses and other organizations that are opening up, we're partnering with WorkSafe BC, and they're going to be, they'll have a 1-800 number, but also their website will have information for businesses and retail outlets and others about the requirements going forward.
It was leaked out yesterday, Bonnie, that gyms and fitness clubs were going to fit under phase three of that plan. Is that still the case? And how do you see their adjustments to their businesses going forward while this pandemic is still going on?
Yeah, gyms are a challenging one because they weren't, I didn't put in a provincial order, but in several parts of the province, we had cases of clusters of cases that were transmitted in a gym through that environment. And most, I believe, gyms across the province have closed because they realized they could not meet the standards that we had around physical distancing and cleanliness and making sure we weren't coming in contact with people and sharing equipment and things like that. So now's the phase where they need to look at, you know, who are their clientele, how can they do their business. There are many different models. I know that one of the gyms that I work out with here in Victoria has been doing online classes, and we can do outside classes and things like that, where you can maintain the distancing and you can keep people active. But those are things that people are going to have to work out over the coming weeks. And if they can have a model that includes workouts in the gym, maintaining the distances and the cleaning and everything else that we need, and that can be done safely, and they have their business plan, how they're going to meet the needs publicly posted, then they can reopen.
Final question. How has your life changed over the past few months with all of this, I guess, newfound fame? And what does day-to-day life look like for you right now, Bonnie?
My life is very singularly focused right now, and it's all around COVID-19. I will say the one other thing that I, of course, cannot forget is that we have an overdose crisis that is going on in this province as well, and it has only been worsened by this COVID-19. So my days are very much consumed with both of those issues.
Are you selling a lot of shoes at least?
Well, I understand that they sold out, and you know, I'm very touched and honored by John Fluvog, but I also got a letter from the food bank, and of course, that was the charity that I felt very strongly that we needed to support, and they've got thousands and thousands of dollars from that, and I really am grateful to people for doing it through the shoes, but I understand as well, they sent me a lovely letter that said that many people didn't realize the food banks were in such dire straits, and that they heard about it because of the shoes, and they donated to the food banks across BC. So thank you everybody for that.
How do you mentally refocus, or at least kind of keep an open mind or an even keel during a stressful time like this, where I'm sure you're under a lot of pressure, everybody's under a lot of pressure, and everybody just wants all the answers basically right now, basically?
I would love all the answers too. I don't know. It's one of those things where I think, you know, some days I don't sleep that well, let's just put it that way. But, you know, it's the most that we can do is to try and find the best information, make sure that that my role is to provide the information that people need as best I can. I also really believe that if we provide people with the information, what we know, what we don't know, what might happen, where we're thinking, and that people understand the nuance and the challenges that we're facing, then we give people the means to do what we need to do, and people in BC have shown that this works and we can get through this together, and underpinning it all is really kindness and being compassionate with each other, and that's how we get through these extraordinary times.
Well, Bonnie, from all of us here at Vista Radio, I would like to commend the work that you've been doing along with Health Minister Adrian Dix and the rest of your team in order to keep us safe during this difficult time. And from all of us here, we want to send out a great big thank you for taking some time out of your hectic schedule to speak with me today.
Well, thank you very much.
That was Provincial Health Officer Dr. Henry speaking with us on all things COVID-19. And until next time, I'm Brendan Palou.